What up, what up, what up? Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this second episode of the Backwards K Baseball Show. As always, my name is Chris Asbrock, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Scott Kaiser. Scott, my man, how are you doing?
What's going on, buddy? Week two, we made it.
We didn't get canceled after week one, so that's, you know, where baby steps is how I'm looking at it. This is we're off to a good start so far, too. Well, at least one full down. You know, we're 30 seconds into a second one, so we'll see how it goes from here.
And to the tens of people watching across the world, we thank you for tuning in.
Indeed. Indeed. So, well, we have a pretty good show on tap for you guys today. We've got some free agent talk here. We'll look into the curious case of Joey Votto. We'll break down the American League and do a little Tri-State baseball report, and then...
You know, and I'm gonna grind. I'm gonna get on what grinds my gears.
Little brushback segment. We're gonna call it the brushback. What gets us so mad? We want to throw at the batter. So, and I've got a pretty good idea what Scott's is. So I'm just gonna sit back and let this guy go because it's gonna be good. But as always, again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Other than that, let's get into it, my man.
Go for it. MLB. Let's lead things off.
Let's do it. MLB free agency. Well, from last episode till today, we've had two signings. Like, well, two of any significance. Let's put it that way. Eddie Rosario, the left fielder, signed a minor league deal with the Washington Nationals. And then, obviously, Joey Votto. He finally caved, found himself a team, which we are going to get into here in just a little bit, where he took a minor league deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, his hometown team. With the, you know, the minor league, you know, camp invite or whatever with a chance to make the team. So, Matthew, good evening, my man. Appreciate you tuning in. Scott, what are your thoughts so far on Eddie Rosario? You're a little more familiar with him than myself. What are your thoughts on that?
It's good to see Eddie find a home. I didn't expect that the length of time it would take for him to find a new deal when the Braves didn't bring him back at the end of the season. I figured Eddie played pretty well his last year in Atlanta. I know that the contract wasn't as exciting for the Braves any longer as it was when they first signed it. Eddie didn't offer as much as they were looking for out in left field. His defense was left a lot to be desired, and while he played hero during the World Series run and will always be immortalized in Atlanta for that, I think they're just looking to get a little bit more, so that's why they made the trade for Kelnick, moved around money. But that being said, I would have never expected Eddie Rosario to have sat on free agency well into the period, only signing, you know, late last week. So that was a little surprising for Eddie, I'm sure. Especially the fact that he signed a split contract. So he gets $2 million to sign, and then he gets $4 million if he makes the major league club. But this is a guy who had a guaranteed contract for up to $9 million this year just a few months ago. And the fact that he could only find a home in Washington of all places and a split contract is kind of sad, but I don't know. I guess it proves the Braves a little bit correct that they let him go without much fanfare and, you know, moved on from him so quickly. But I was a little bit surprised that he didn't find a better job or at least a better paying job somewhere else out there.
You know, you're right on that. And that's the thing is, I mean, a free agent, you know, left fielder, guy's got tons of experience. Again, you were saying, you know, his production in the World Series, you know, that was – It was a little shocking that it took him this long to sign, and also, like I said, like you were saying with the Nationals, and on the flip side of that, it's a great deal for Washington, low risk, high reward deal for them. You know, they're just the team that's still looking to, you know, to continue to build up and get better. Now, obviously, they're stuck in the National League East, which is an absolute nightmare of a division. But you know, again, low risk, high reward for him. I look forward to seeing what he can do. You know, he'll be able to, you know, if he makes the ball club, which I would imagine he probably will. Like I said, it's a low risk, high reward. But having a veteran like that on your team to help mentor, you know, the young talent that's on that Washington team, you know, to me, it's a no-brainer, and I think it's going to – I think it'll benefit them, you know, throughout the season. Unfortunately, like I said, they're in the National League East, and it's miserable to be stuck in that division if you're the Washington Nationals.
Buddy of mine, Robert Taylor, chiming in saying, oh, hey, other Mike is a Kansas City fan. That's cool. he happens to be the biggest and one of the only Chiefs fans that I know. So quick to point out that there's Kansas City representing Patrick Mahomes with his ownership stake there. And the Kansas City Royals, I'm sure, pleases Robert. So thanks for tuning in, Robert. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you tuning in. All right, well, you want to talk Joey Votto?
Yeah, let's talk Joey Votto. So Joey Votto finally found himself home last week. He was lamenting in various social media circles that he hadn't quite found a home yet. He was looking to play ball and missing ball and sent all sorts of sad pictures of himself sitting on park benches and whatnot. But shortly after that, the Toronto Blue Jays came calling in a marriage that I told you has one of the most obvious marriages for the last at least 15 years. I think everybody's been talking about someday Joey Votto making his way up to Canada to play for his home country in Toronto. And I was surprised again, much like Eddie Rosario, that it took this long because it made too much sense. And the Blue Jays had the need, you know, Votto doesn't have the skills he once had. So, you know, I'm sure that they were waiting a little bit to see how the free agent market played out. I'm sure they were in on Cody Bellinger. And obviously we know that they were in on Ohtani, a couple of other big bats. But, you know, nothing wrong with taking a flyer on Joey Votto. And look, I'm a big Joey Votto guy, okay? Having lived in this city for pretty much all of his career, I've seen everything that he's had to offer up close. And I can't speak for you, but personally, I've known way too many Reds fans that didn't appreciate Joey Votto's career and his time here because they always wanted just a little bit more. You know, they complained that he walked too much, or they complained that he didn't hit enough home runs or whatever it may have been. I always thought, especially during the time of his peak performance, was when the Braves were down a little bit, and to watch him do what he was doing at the time, I thought, you guys have no idea what it's like to have a guy that goes out there and does what he does every day, despite the fact that when he was doing that at the beginning, the team around him took a little while to get built up, you know, before they got to the playoffs and were in consistent, like, conversation for contention. Love Joey Votto. Now, I do think he's been a little weird over his career, and he didn't with the media early on. But the weird thing about that is he kind of flipped it. And he, you know, since his skills have taken kind of a deterioration, he's been on the backside of his career, his social media and his personality has been able to shine, and he's become a fan favorite across not just Cincinnati, but baseball. So good pickup for the Blue Jays. Interested to see what he can do up there. I'm sure that neither side is expecting huge things numbers wise, but he's a steady presence. He's a veteran presence. That lineup can use a little bit of lengthening. I don't know how much he's got in the tank left, but quite honestly, Toronto can use all the help they can get, if I'm being fair.
I can't argue that. And like you were saying, Scott, this was the most obvious marriage in terms of free agent with a team that we've seen in a long, long time. The problem with Joey Votto was the fact that he was holding out for a major league deal. He was not going to get that. And I know a lot of Reds fans were all upset with the way they handled the Joey Votto situation. I had no issues with it whatsoever. The dude's 40 years old. He didn't have it. I mean, yeah, it was nice. We saw spurts of it last year. And I think a lot of it was the rejuvenation of being around this young team that the Reds had. I mean, this team's stacked. And I think that helped, you know, helped rejuvenate Joey for a little bit. But there's just, unfortunately, here in Cincinnati, there just was not a spot for him. And that's, you know, that's what we're seeing now. Toronto, again, just like the Eddie Rosario situation, it's a no-brainer. You bring him in, low risk, high reward. I don't think he has much in the tank, but his knowledge at that plate is, you know, it's second to none. And Scott, like you were saying, you know, Reds fans being, you know, not appreciating Joey enough, it's incredible. The dude won the MVP And he was one of the best pure hitters that we have seen in the league in the last 15, 20 years. In terms of just pure hitting, the guy's approach at the plate was unbelievable.
I agree.
That's the one thing that Reds fans, yeah, I mean, I remember seeing all this stuff about, he walks too much. He's too picky at the plate. Well, I mean, what the hell do you want? I mean, and the object is to get on base, you know, and score runs, and Joey will get on base at a ferocious pace. So I don't understand, you know, what you're wanting from, okay, maybe the fact, you know, he would bat in a 4 or 5 hole. I'll give you that. But still, a very professional hitter. And it's well-deserved. It does suck that he's not, you know, retiring with one team. That does suck. I like the fact that these guys can, you know, play their entire career with one ball club. I think that's really cool. You know, unfortunately, this was not the case. But best of luck to Joey. I'm super happy for him. As you know, many of you guys know, I'm a big Jays fan. Mike, that's so true, man. His social media game during free agency was awesome. Joey is he's a hoot. I mean, he is so funny, and he does a fantastic job in the booth as well. So if you ever got a chance to watch Joey during, you know, his time where he was out injured, him in the booth, it was awesome.
I don't even have to go to the booth. It was, 2 years ago on opening day when the Reds played the Braves. It was on ESPN, and they did the on-the-field mic up. And Joey was down there,
yes, just
cracking up, you know, hamming it up with Ozzie at first base and everything. No, it was a great interview. I'm glad that he's opened up and showed us personally, because he was a little bristly to start his career. And I think he just – you know, he was one of those guys that was just so focused on being good at what he did that, you know, the media stuff kind of took a back seat. So I can totally understand that. But it's nice to see that he does have a personality. He's willing to show it, and he's gotten out there and made himself more marketable, more fan friendly. So that a contract like this is kind of possible. I can't imagine that if he was still the same kind of brooding, you know, distant with the media type that he was to start his career, that there would be any club looking to bring him in, because it wouldn't be worth the headache at this point. But, you know, you get Joey in there up in Toronto. He teaches some of the guys and again, is that veteran presence in the locker room. Who knows what can happen? I mean, again, don't expect big things as far as numbers, but Toronto needs what they can get. And if Joey just provides one guy with a boost to his career, like a Davis Schneider or somebody like that, one of the real young guys that's just making their way, if he can change the course of their career, I'm sure that Toronto will consider all the money very well spent.
1,000%. And another thing, too, to really think about is, like you were saying, him mentoring, you know, the young guys on that team. Toronto was a very immature team last year. They did things, you know, in game that just were not smart baseball decisions. Joey is not like that. That having that veteran presence in there, you know, will help, you know, provided he makes the ball club, which honestly, I think at this point in time, I think you have to, because let's be real, this is probably his last year. And what a way to go out, you know, playing, you know, north of the border, you know, your hometown team, you know, going for it. And here's your chance to, again, mentor, you know, this young ball club, again, that was a very immature team, to help them, you know, they've got the talent, and we'll touch on the American League East here in a little bit, but they've got a team that's good enough to push for, you know, the American League pennant. Like, they have that much talent on the team. It's just a matter of everything coming together, and a guy like Joey Votto can help that out. Look at what he did with Ellie De La Cruz last year. You would see Joey Votto sitting on the bench, and there's Ellie next to him. They're looking at the iPad, you know, breaking down stuff. That is, you know, that speaks volumes of the kind of guy that Joey is. And I was a proponent of the Reds bringing him in as a bench coach, hitting coach, something along those lines, to be in the clubhouse with that young ball club at all times to see what, I mean – just to see what he can do and, you know, push all that knowledge that he has onto that team and just continue to help them develop into better ball players. So
Matt pointing out that people complaining about walks are the same grown men that bring their glove to the game, which is rather humorous.
That's accurate.
Mike also chiming in saying that his favorite Joey moment was him dressing like the Mountie during his interview, calling the fan behind home plate fat, or going full heel, always asking the question. So he wants to know, is one of our favorite memories either the Mountie interview, calling the fan behind home plate fat, or going full heel and throwing the ball away from the kids at an opposing park? I'm going to answer this one first because it absolutely is him throwing the balls away in the park. Yes. That was when people still didn't quite understand who Joey was and thought he was still that angry, brooding early on in his career type. And I thought that was hysterical. That was first glimpse into who Joey really was. And I loved that he would heckle the other team's fans by doing that. I wish more players would mess with opposing fans like that.
Well, that's exactly what you have to do. I mean, as these guys, you know, the crap that they get from the opposing fans is awesome usually anyway. But Joey was able to dish it back in a fun way. And I mean, and he would do it. I mean, it was like, Philadelphia, I want to say, where was the team that he would really get those fans, which is easy to get them riled up anyway. But Joey did it like in just the best way possible. And he was so much fun to watch when he did that. And obviously the Mountie interview was hysterical.
I'd actually forgot about the Mountie interview until I saw a tweet the other day after he signed where it said Joey ready for baseball. That's right. He did do the interview on the Mountie suit. I'd completely forgotten about that part, but yeah, I mean, he's one of a kind. It's a little sad to see him go. Cause I'm like you, I'm being a baseball traditionalist. I love when guys are able to stay their whole career with one team and him being the face of this franchise for so long. It would have been nice for him to retire red, but I understand from both sides, Joey still wants to play. Man, go out there and do what you love to do because you don't have much time left. And for the Reds, they've got enough talent and enough young guys in there that it was time to move on and stop clogging the roster spot with Joey. So I totally get it. It's one of those amicable splits, and you don't like it, but when you look at the baseball card, you can just cover up the bottom part that says Toronto and just pretend he was a Red his whole career. There's plenty of guys that spent like their entire career one place, and then the last year or two, you look and you're like, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot they played there.
Yeah, that'll be one where we'll look back and be like, oh yeah, that's right, Joey. Yeah, Joey was a Blue Jay at one point. So how quickly does the statue of Joey Votto get put outside of GABP?
I'd put it up yesterday and take the one of Pete Rose down.
Oh.
I mean, if you're gonna have a statue up of an icon, at least have one that doesn't have such a dicey past. And I don't just mean on the field.
Jesus. We're gonna go there already. God dang, man. I wasn't
you weren't prepared for that, were you? Yeah. No. Look, I love Pete Rose, but I can't condone having a statue or immortalizing or idolizing the man just based off his off the field things. On the field, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Definitely think he should be in the Hall of Fame for what he did on the field, but he's in a different type of Hall of Fame off the field, one that you don't want to be in.
Well, that's a great transition to our next free agent. I mean, Jesus, that made that a little easy, but in terms of players with a dicey off the field situation, let's look at Trevor Bauer. Now, Trevor Bauer, Cy Young Award winner, obviously, with all the issues that he had off the field.
Another former Red.
Yeah, another former Red, who I absolutely loved his time here. He was awesome. Some dicey off-the-field stuff, was fully exonerated from all of that. Now, teams are seemingly shying away from bringing in Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer has stated he will play for league minimum. He just wants to pitch here in the majors again. That's $720,000 to bring in a guy like Trevor Bauer. I mean, I would do it. I would. Maybe not with the Reds, just simply right now with the way their team is. But if I'm, the majority of other teams who need a frontline starter, my God, I mean, it's why not? He did pitch, was it yesterday, I want to say, for this I don't think it was a Japanese like all-star type team, but it was an all-star team comprised of I want to say it was a bunch of like Asian like all-stars, and they faced Dodgers minor leaguers yesterday. And Bauer went out there and was flat out dealing. I touched, I want to say 99 a couple times. I had 5 strikeouts through, I want to say 3 innings. But he was dealing. He proved that, you know, he can still sling it on the mound. Scott, I mean, what are your thoughts on Trevor Bauer? Would you, I mean, maybe obviously not the Braves, but, you know, if you're a GM who is in need of pitching, would you do it?
I've gone back and forth because I feel like Trevor has gotten, not without fault of his own, has gotten a bad rap. I mean, he's been immature. He's made some very poor decisions, both on and off the field at times. Not one to have been known as a clubhouse guy, very selfish along the way. And he's admitted that over the past year and a half. I mean, he's had no choice but to kind of try to rectify his image and repair things in hopes of getting back to the major league. From a talent perspective, the man absolutely deserves to be pitching in the major league. I just don't know what team could take the hit. And Mike mentions it here, the PR hit, even with Bauer at a league minimum, it's tough to stomach. I don't know what type of environment you have to have either, because a team like the Braves, who seemingly could insulate that and kind of nip into the bud because they have a clubhouse, do you want to introduce that type of clubhouse cancer, for lack of a better phrase, whether or not he is, but the perceived, you know, sentiment from outside organizations is that he is. Do you want to invite that in? Has he really changed as a person, or is this all just trying to get back on the field, trying to get another payday, trying to get back in front of the lights again? Love Trevor Bauer, the pitcher. Not so sure about Trevor Bauer, the person. And I don't see where he would necessarily fit. There, you know, the teams that could afford to kind of just do whatever. This is, take a team like Oakland, where, you know, they're already suffering bad PR with the city move. A team that could take a flyer, and if everything goes right, they could flip him. Why would Oakland want to do it? Like, what incentive do they have to bring a guy like that and around a bunch of young guys? Like, a team that's no good with a bunch of young guys doesn't necessarily want to bring that in. So you've got that. Like, and then if you're a team in the middle, you know, you're trying to sell tickets, trying to push yourself over the hump. It just doesn't seem like there's a spot for Trevor Bauer, even though I think he deserves one, just because, you know, based on everything that happened with everything. I know there's still some unsavory details, but overall, he got exonerated. You know, everything got dismissed. It's all behind him. I just don't know if that means that you get another chance at baseball, especially if there's nobody willing to sign you.
What about, here's the team for you. The team behind me here, Texas Rangers. They are in need of, now, I mean, hear me out. You've got Bruce Bochy as your manager. Bruce is one of the most well-respected managers that we have ever seen in this game. So his presence in the clubhouse anyway would be, you know, enough to, you would think, squash any shit that would arise from Trevor. But their team that would need, I mean, at this point in time, they need pitching help. I mean, that might be, you know, a team like Texas, I think, would be a really good fit for him. Now,
don't get me wrong. I mean, the league.
I'm just kind of spitballing teams here. So.
No. I got you. And I'm saying league-wide, pitching-wise, he could pitch for anybody. He's still got enough skill that any team should want him from a talent standpoint. That's not the issue. The issue is you got to deal with all the outside stuff, and a team like Texas, who just won their first World Series in club history, are they going to want to bring that on and basically tarnish their World Series title? I don't think that's a great move for them. And I mean, what, you have to get an owner to sign off on this too.
Well, and that's
the only owner that I can think of that might sign off on is Artie Moreno, because he doesn't seem to give a shit lately. So
that's, I mean, it's a great point.
He could go play in Anaheim.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I was looking at situations where you've got a team that needs the pitching help plus the environment that could – I mean, there's a bunch of leaders on that team. You got Marcus Semien. You've got Corey Seager.
Going back to Texas.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So, like,
no, you're talking about the Angels. I was like, you said, I'm like, wait a minute, they have leaders, and then you started naming players. I'm like, oh,
no, the only leader there is Mike Trout, and that's it. And other than that, it's an absolute gong show. But in terms of Texas, though, like I said, I was looking at situations where you have the pitch you need, plus the environment that could help, you know, I don't want to say corral him, but then you've got guys like Max Scherzer who. I mean, he's a strong personality as well. I mean, how big of a, you know, are they going to, you know, clash and make it worse? Because, again, like you said, the perception league-wide is that the dude's a pain in the ass in the clubhouse. If that's the case, I mean, if you're a team that's looking to make a push for the World Series, I mean, do you want a guy who's going to wear out his welcome really quick? And the next thing you know, there go your hopes of – you know, any pennant or World Series because you let a cancer into the clubhouse. Not sure it's worth it, but that's just the team that I was thinking of. I mean, I was kind of going through my head, you know, of other teams that would need the pitching plus that has that, you know, environment.
Matt pointing out that Jonathan Papelbon offered to pay Bauer's league minimum if the team he signs with doubles that money back when and if he performs well. Now that's an interesting gamble to throw out there. Yeah. I don't know if there's any team out there that would actually take Papelbon up on that. But Matt Stanton also points out that Papelbon has a history of strangling people. So Papelbon
yeah. putting out
money for Trevor Bauer seems like an interesting case study. Again, I don't know where a home is for Bauer. I don't know that. I think he burned enough bridges prior to the incident is really the crux of the issue. I feel like if he had been an upstanding citizen and not been such an abrasive prick. There you go.
Yeah, I mean,
such a bad locker room guy that it wouldn't be so hard to find a job after everything. But it's like you couple the off the field stuff with the on the field stuff. I just who's got time for it?
That's. I mean, I can't argue that. That's because at this point in time, this is a crucial point for any team. You know, going into the season, I mean, you are at a point now to where you're trying to get everything ready for, you know, the upcoming season. You don't want to be, you know, throwing everything off by bringing in a guy who, you know, again, like we were saying, is a bit abrasive. But yeah, despite the fact that he's going to help your team, which he would, whether he's going to be your 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, the dude's going to deal and he's going to get the job done. He's going to put up results. Is it worth it? That's the big question. That's the $720,000 question that you're going to be, you know, tackling here the next couple weeks, months, and you know, from pretty much from here on out to see what happens with him. But right now,
my guess is that he's going to take a back seat at least for one more season. I think if he's going to get a shot, it'll be one of those signings in the middle of winter. When things are a little bit quieter, you're not going to do it at the beginning of the season. You're not going to do it mid-season. You're going to try to keep it as low-key as you possibly can with something like that, which means you probably sign them in, you know, November or something like that or before things get really ramped up in free agency, or maybe even after Christmas, after everything has kind of died down and before things start getting ramped up, like right there in that January cold period, that's probably the only time that you can sign a Trevor Bauer. Cause again, the media is going to be all over it, wherever he signs. You're going to have to answer all the questions about, is this a good move? How does this make the team better? How do you answer any questions about, you know, there's going to be advocates coming out and asking why you would do this? What's, you know, is it worth it? And all that stuff. So I think that's a little bit easier to handle when there's nothing really going on. Now is not the time that a team's going to take that on, no matter how desperate they are.
Do you think it's a situation where the league is, you know, league wide, they're punishing him, you know, in terms of, you know, like there's probably a ton of teams out there, and I mean, in my personal opinion, that would want to sign him that are like, but then they don't want the brush back and blowback from the other teams in the league. You see what I'm saying? So is it like,
yeah,
you think that's the situation or no?
You're asking if he's being blackballed.
I was beating on the bush on that one.
I don't know. I think this is kind of like the unspoken bond with who was it in the NFL that the league basically kind of shunned and wouldn't sign, and there's no evidence that anybody's getting blacklisted, but sure, it happens. I mean,
yeah,
you just kind of freeze the guy out, you know, you get words through back channels and shit, and the owners more or less agree, like, hey, we're not going to bring this guy in. Like, it's a right to play in this league, not a privilege. And despite the fact that he has skills, again, it only takes one owner to buck that, but I just don't see where baseball's such a tight-knit fraternity with those owners, and they're all about their money. If there's anything that they think is going to ding their pocketbook, they're not in for it. So,
Exactly. Well, that makes the most sense. But this is a very
Mike pointing out that it's African American bald, not black bald. Fair enough, Mike. Thank you for that.
Can I laugh at that or no?
Yes. Yes, okay. You may. Okay, go cool. For it.
I'll pocket that one later. All righty. Well, shall we dig into the American League and
I think it's time to give our thoughts on what we got going on this week. We're going to start in the American League East. Is that where we want to start first?
I think we should.
All right, I'll let you do the honors since you're the Blue Jays fan. You go on ahead and run down through what your standings and thoughts are as we head into 2024 with the American League East, Chris.
Perfect. All righty. So American League East is one of the, you know, like I was saying, is one of the top divisions in all of baseball. And you've got four teams there's three teams that are definitely going to be competing for the division. A fourth and then there's a fifth that not a chance. So my top team, the team that I have predicting to win the American League East, is the Baltimore Orioles. They are hands down the most talented team top to bottom in the division with all the young talent that they have. And they just continue to bring, you know, more talent in. Obviously, with the addition of Corbin Burnes, you still have Grayson Rodriguez, Gunnar Henderson, Jackson Holliday, Adley Rutschman. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And Baltimore, the experience from last year from winning the division to, you know, falling out in the playoffs, it just gave those guys one more year of experience. And I think that is going to come in, you know, mighty. It's going to be huge for them moving forward, you know, as the season plays out. But Baltimore is my pick to, I mean, I think they're going to, I don't want to say run away with it, but I'll be nice about it. They're going to run away with it. I just don't think right now. I just don't see any team really being able to compete with Baltimore. The only other team that I have finishing second is the New York Yankees, and they've
never heard of them.
Well, I have. I've got neighbors who are Yankees fans, so I trust.
You should move.
Well, I've thought about it. I tell them that all the time. But overall, the Yankees are the Yankees, and you know, as we go and talk about each one of these divisions, you know, like Scott was saying, we're gonna, you know, the one key point of each team here. The key point for the Yankees is Gerrit Cole and Juan Soto. I'm going to go two on that one because what we've seen so far from Juan Soto is freaking impressive. Juan Soto, it was a no-brainer that he was going to come to the Yankees. It was a no-doubter that they were going to trade for him, and the dude is flat-out raking. He's going to rake in Yankee Stadium. That's just how it's going to be with him. The question is now Gerrit Cole. Now, the news came out that Gerrit Cole is going to be getting an MRI as he had some elbow discomfort in his pitching elbow, which that immediately is, you know, sends out some red flags. That's, you know, if you're a Yankees fan, you've got to be crapping your pants. Because let's be real, no Gerrit Cole, they're done. They will not compete for the American League East. Plain and simple, not going to happen. No Gerrit Cole, that team is going to be done. They might sneak into the playoffs with just simply because of the talent around the rest of the league is you know, just a, I mean, talent alone, the Yankees will be okay, but they're not going to even remotely compete for a World Series if there's no Gerrit Cole. Third, I've got the Toronto Blue Jays. Toronto is a very, very, very talented team. Again, young, immature in terms of, you know, what we've seen so far from them last year. Offense has to show up. It didn't show up last year. You've got guys like Dalton Varsho, Kevin Kiermaier, obviously Vladdy, who, you know, can flat out rake. You've got Bo Bichette, who can flat out rake. Guys like that are going to have to be the guys that are going to have to carry this ball club. They brought in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa to play third base. That's
big money.
Oh, big money, especially when you were holding out for Shohei Ohtani. And then you get IKF. So when you talk about a big swing and miss and that aspect of it, but Toronto has the pitching staff to push for a division title. I just don't know if it's going to be enough, and I don't think it will be enough considering what we've seen so far from the Orioles. Fourth, I got the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa is, you know, they're Tampa. They will do, you know, they just do Tampa things. They surprise you. You know, they don't do much in terms of, you know, the entirety of, you know, like an offseason or making big moves. And there they are, you know, right at the end. And it's like, oh, wow, what happened? They finished just, what, 2 games back of Baltimore last year. They made the playoffs. Unfortunately, you know, for them, they couldn't move on. But Tampa's going to be Tampa. So they could compete or they could not. It's just, it's weird with them. You never know. And then fifth, the Boston Red Sox. They just have to pray the rest of the American League East just folds and just doesn't play. You know, they went full throttle this offseason to only sputter out and not get anything done. And they're going to pay for it again. And, you know, the team with the highest ticket prices is going to watch a very, very, very mediocre ball club on the field. So it's a shame for them. But in terms of the division, it's going to be a long summer in Boston. So, Scott, what say you, my man?
I'm going to go a little bit different. I am going to lead off with the Orioles. I do think that they are now the class of the American League East, but I think it's for a different reason. I think not only is it because they have the experience, but they've got the hunger after tasting the playoffs in their first go around in a long time last year. All of these kids are ready. The ones that are coming up behind them might even be more ready than the ones that are already there. And with them bringing in Corbin Burnes, it finally signaled that they're ready to make the moves necessary to get to that next level. I also love that they're switching ownership. The Angelos family has owned that team for long enough, sat on their hands, not done anything. And it'll be nice, as Matt mentioned, it'll be nice to see winning baseball being played in Baltimore, because that city and that franchise deserves it. I've been to Camden Yards. It's a great place to watch baseball. It's a fun place to watch baseball. And the Baltimore fans are, I think, underrated across baseball. A lot of that has to do with the fact that over the last 20 years, they really haven't had anything to root for. As far as second place goes, I was going to pick the Yankees to finish second, but if this Gerrit Cole thing turns out to be anything serious, and there's plenty of Yankees fans hoping otherwise, I myself could care less, but if it proves to be serious, I think it's an easy call to have Tampa Bay coming in second. I love what Tampa does. Year in, year out, doesn't matter what happens with who they trade, who they bring in, who they lose in free agency, they just keep on humming. They have a formula, they have a system, and it works. I will never bet against Tampa, and while I do think they'll take a step back because of how great of a start they got out to last year, and then they faded a little as the season went on, I just don't think that they'll be able to get out to such a lead, and Baltimore has the experience now to be able to hang with them and also get off to a fast start. To where I think it's going to be neck and neck between Tampa and Baltimore throughout the season, but I give the edge to Baltimore just because they've got a bigger pool of talent when you go from top to bottom. That's not to say that I don't believe that Tampa Bay won't be a part of the playoff picture, because I think you're going to have at least two teams come out of this division to represent the AL East. Now, last year they had three. This year, I think they're going to take a step back and only have the one, which means I'm leaving out the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays and Yankees seem to be in a very similar spot to where they can't quite get over that hump. And Tampa Bay, or Toronto's rather, offseason was such that I just don't think they did enough. They kind of stood pat. They swung for Ohtani. They missed. They were in conversations for Cody Bellinger. They couldn't land him. Heck, they couldn't even keep Matt Chapman in the building, who ended up signing with the Giants, as we discussed last week. So I think while they have a decent team on paper, and I think a competitive team, they're in the wrong division. If Toronto played in a different division, they'd probably run away with it. If they played in the Central, there's no doubt. When we talk about the Central, you're going to see how little faith we have in all five of the teams in the Central. But Toronto has the unfortunate luck of playing in the AL East, and I just don't think they're going to hack it there. Like I said, I think the Yankees finish ahead of them. If Gerrit Cole isn't injured and it's not as serious as we think, I do think that they'll be in a battle with Tampa Bay for that second spot, and I could see them edging out Tampa. I don't hope for it, that's for sure. And I'm not rooting for Gerrit Cole to be injured, but I'm not rooting for Gerrit Cole to miss some time. You know, Yankees fans need a little bit of that humble pie. And I've already seen where Yankees fans are claiming, "Up, that's it, season's over, pack it in." Haven't even gotten the MRI results, and as typical Yankee fans, they've already thrown in the towel. I'm not saying that they also don't have a reason for that, because outside of the Juan Soto deal, this team didn't do a whole lot. And they traded away a hell of a lot to get Juan Soto in. They don't have any pitching depth, so if you lose a Gerrit Cole, that's going to hurt doubly. I don't trust any of the rest of the starting rotation. Carlos Rodon isn't the guy. He's not built for New York. He isn't healthy. You can tell that just by the spring results so far. And then, you know, you've got behind him, you've got Nestor Cortez, who, again, can't trust to stay healthy, pitches decent when he does. And then they've got a bunch of guys that don't scare anybody. So while I think if Gerrit Cole is all right, they've got enough talent and whatnot to finish second, I just don't think that without Gerrit Cole they can compete for anything other than third. And that leaves just the Red Sox, who, as you mentioned, did absolute fuck all this offseason. They didn't do dick. They sent out Chris Sale. They've told their fans at the start of the offseason they're going full bore. I think they lied about being in on Yamamoto, and it was only window dressing. They claimed to be in on him, but Yamamoto wouldn't even give them a visit in person, so I don't think they were ever actually in on him. And I just think they're kind of spinning their wheels. I don't know what that franchise is doing. Ever since they got back to winning World Series kind of on a regular basis, they're winning, what, 3 in 5 years or 3 in 7 years or something along those lines, breaking their long-standing curse. They then proceed to trade Mookie, and everything since then has just been a what the hell is going on in Boston. They've got some nice pieces. Rafael Devers is still there. You know, they've got a few younger guys that should be good going forward. Tristan Casas is a name to know if you don't follow Boston at all. But just in general, from an outside looking in, that team's a mess. And again, they're actually not that bad on paper if you were to put them in another division. In fact, I think late into the season, they were only a few games back. That's the problem. All five teams, talent-wise, could win just about any other division in the American League. But since they beat up on each other and play each other so much, and only max of three, as we saw last year now with the two wild cards, can make the playoffs, I just don't think that Boston has the juice anymore in that division. And until they decide they're going to get back to being big players in free agency, going out and making moves that it takes to win, they're going to wallow in fourth or fifth place for a while. So I'm going to go Baltimore, Tampa Bay, New York, Toronto, and then Boston.
Okay. So your two playoff teams are Baltimore and Tampa.
I'm going to take Baltimore and Tampa. Tampa to win one of the wild card spots, and Baltimore to win the division narrowly over Tampa Bay.
Okay. I like that. I mean, I can't. The New York Yankee one, that's a tough one.
Before we move off of it, Matt Barr saying Garrett Cole could take some personal time to himself. No injury necessary. Just take an Anthony Rendon season, my guy. Just some me time to think about what he's done. I'm okay with that too. I'm not rooting for injuries again, but if their most talented players aren't on the field for whatever reason that is, I'm okay with it.
I can't argue that. Yeah, I mean it's the Yankees. They're the evil empire for a reason, you know. So no, I get it. I the Garrett Cole thing is going to really that's definitely something to watch out for, you know, as we hear more.
Yeah,
you
know, we won't know the results of that MRI until next week's show. So between now and then, we'll get some news. But Yankees' initial reports are that they don't expect to have anything to report for at least 2 days. So it doesn't sound good, but hey, it didn't sound good for Ronald Acuna, and Braves dodged that bullet. So maybe the Yankees will get lucky.
I know. Remember last week's show? You were like so distraught and devastated, and then shit, you not first.
I said a 6 out of 10. I don't know, distraught and devastated, Kat.
Deep down inside, you were shitting your pants.
I was a little nervous.
You know you were.
Look, anytime that the MVP might be down for a considerable amount of time, yeah, that shakes you a little. But that being said, if Ronald was to miss some time, as long as it wasn't the whole season, I wasn't hitting full-on panic mode. I wasn't ready to cancel the season, even if it – because, again, did win a World Series without him. So, you know, there's that.
You smug ass, I swear. Oh, I love it. Oh, you always provide some pretty good humor to this.
Thanks, Tyson. The show does suck. Appreciate you.
Well, you know what? That's not too bad, man. We are one full show and then 47 minutes into a second one before we got that. So
I'll take it.
Exactly. All right.
Called worse by Tyson, so there's that.
Oh, there we go. I'm new to Tyson, so I'm waiting to hear what he's
got. Oh, don't worry. He's fine. Well, yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. All right.
He's a ball of positivity.
I can tell. I love it. Well, let's move on to the American League Central. Scott, do you want to go or?
Sure. I'll lead things off the American League Central. The American League Central sucks a bag of dicks. Short answer. Chris and I were talking about it before the show, and the only thing that we can agree on is that the Chicago White Sox are going to finish fifth. That's it. You've got the Minnesota Twins are the defending champs in that division, and behind them you've got the Detroit Tigers, who have been in rebuild mode since their last World Series appearance. You've got you've got Detroit, Kansas City, Chicago, Minnesota, and who am I missing?
Cleveland.
Good God, the mistake by the lake. So the top four teams after Chicago, it pick them. I know that Minnesota won the division last year, but I have next to no faith that they can repeat that. Again, they've got a nice young core. They've got a decent pitching staff, but there's nothing that they did last year to suggest that they were demonstratively better than anybody else in this division. It just so happened that the rest of the division behind them is just that bad. So Minnesota wins by default last year. I actually think that the other teams behind them have caught up. I like what Detroit did this offseason. I like what Kansas City did this offseason. Both teams went out and made some not flashy, not, you know, run and tell mom, ooh, we signed such and such type deals. But they were fill-in deals. They were solid veteran deals. They were guys to help make their teams better in the long term. But because they've got such young cores, it's kind of like the Joey Votto situation with Toronto, where it's like, let's get some stabilizers in here. Let's get some guys in here that can teach these young guys how to win, and then we can move forward. I think both teams are ready to win. And if I had to pick a team that was going to win this division that wasn't Minnesota, I like Detroit. I think Detroit is going to sneak up on some people this year, and that's my pick to win the Central. So while I do think that Minnesota has enough staying power to at least battle it out with Detroit and stay in conversation with the top of the division, I like Detroit to edge them out just a little bit. So I'm going to go Detroit 1, Minnesota 2, Kansas City 3, Cleveland. After making the playoffs and having long run of success with Tito there in charge, Tito's gone. Now you're bringing in a rookie manager. This team still doesn't have any type of power to speak of. And while their pitching was good a couple of years ago, it's not great. And so I just see a team that's kind of stuck in place. And what the other two teams behind them not only have just as good young talent to compare with Detroit or Cleveland, they didn't add anything up top that'll help them win. And so I feel like Cleveland's taken a little bit of a step back. So I'm going to pick them to finish fourth. And then Chicago, as I mentioned, dead last. There's no chance. They're running you and I out there. They traded away anything that wasn't nailed down. The couple of guys that they got are injury prone. They did a near tear down this offseason, and they should probably just go for it. But I understand that you still got to sell some tickets. So they've got guys around there that are at least put a few butts in the seats. But it's an overall mess in Chicago. So anything other than finishing fifth would be the absolute shock of the entire division if they managed to crawl out of the basement. What say you, Chris?
Well, I was literally just going through, and I made a change right at the end. Crossing out my notes here. I do have Kansas City winning the division. And again, you were saying the top four, it's literally, they're all interchangeable. Hands down, this is the closest division in baseball because it's a lot of mediocre teams. And then you have the White Sox. So I think what I've got, Kansas City one, and then Detroit. And then I've got Minnesota and then Cleveland and then Chicago.
Wow, you've got Minnesota falling off the top to third?
I did. Okay. So I all switched. Right. I had originally when we were doing our, the outline here for the show, I had Kansas City, Cleveland, Minnesota, Detroit in fourth, and then Chicago. But I switched and I flipped Cleveland and Detroit. I just think, again, that's the problem, is this division. What did I tell you, earlier today, that, dude, I can't even come up with anything for this division because it's all mediocre, and that's the problem. I love what Detroit has done this offseason, just like you, like what you had said, and I love what Kansas City has done. Those two teams are a year away, I think, from really competing. However, so were the Reds last year, and so were the Orioles, and yep. Look what happened. So sometimes being young and dumb is a benefit for some of these teams here. So you add in just enough talent to, help. I mean, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, but, pretty much what it comes down to is having the veteran presence around these young guys is really what it comes down to. And the underrated move, I think, that we are going to see pay off in spades for Kansas City in this entire division. Kansas City was acquiring Cole Reagans from Texas last year in the Aroldis Chapman trade. Now, it worked out for Texas. They win the World Series, and Aroldis Chapman did help them achieve that. But Kansas City got Cole Reagans, who this kid, if you have a chance to watch him, look up what he's done so far. Just watch some of his games so far that we've seen in spring training. This dude flat out deals. And I've seen a couple national pundits picking him to win the American League Cy Young as a dark horse. That's pretty high praise. And if he stays healthy, I mean, that's, Kansas City has a future ace. So that's definitely something to look out for. But Detroit, I think Detroit and Kansas City are two teams that are going to battle it out for the top spot in this division. I think Minnesota, as good as they are, they lost too much pitching. And I don't know if they have what it takes pitching-wise to stay relevant, from April to October. If they do, then they're going to be there right at the end. If not, then you're going to see them falter and fall off right towards the end as well. I just don't see it. Cleveland, again, as they just didn't do enough this offseason as well. And Chicago is, like you were saying, Scott, Chicago. I mean, it's embarrassing what we have seen from the White Sox organization because they have just it's been awful. And again, they traded everybody that, like you were saying perfectly, traded everything away that wasn't nailed down and got very little back for it. And whatever they did isn't really worth it. So painful if you're a White Sox fan. And unfortunately, they're going to suffer for a while because the moves that were made weren't beneficial, to their rebuild. So it sucks to be them, unfortunately. But, I mean, it is what it is. If you're not gonna put forth the effort in the offseason to rebuild your ball club, then, you're going to pay for it. And that's what we're seeing in Chicago now.
Rexamillion saying that the Guardians are going to win the division and the series. That's an interesting positive take from a homer Cleveland fan. But hey, somebody's got to pick them, I suppose. Matt saying that if Riley Green stays healthy, which is a big if, he points out, he picks Detroit to win the Central. A lot of faith in the young talent with Detroit there. And Matt also pointing out that ever since they changed the name of the stadium in Chicago to Bail Bonds Park or whatever, they've been buns.
Also, to kind of go off of that Detroit thing, the signing of Kenta Maeda, that's a sneaky good move.
Yes, I love Kenta Maeda.
Sneaky good move. Especially, I love Kenta Maeda.
Especially when you take him from your division rival in the Twins. The Twins lose Kenta Maeda. They lose Sonny Gray. I agree with you. That brought them back to the rest of the pack. And while they still have Pablo Lopez to ace that thing up top, I just don't know that they have enough to keep ahead of Detroit and Kansas City.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just think it's going to come down to those two teams, and they're going to battle it out. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But again, it's going to be – this division's going to be fun to watch, I would say, from the top three.
Is it going to be fun to watch, though?
Not fun in terms of, like, product on the field. It's going to be fun to watch the race.
Pillow fight. That way. Pillow fight division, more or less.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awful. Like, I mean – but it's gonna be fun to watch, how these teams battle it out. Is that?
I was gonna say, I look forward to seeing the growth of the Tigers and the Royals and seeing if they can actually hang tough with the Twins and maybe one of them sneak up in there. Because I would be perfectly fine with seeing somebody else. I don't have anything against the Twins.
Yeah, I don't either.
They're also nothing. They're nothing special right now with who they have on their team. There's nothing that. They don't have any of those household names that you look for exciting. So, I mean, while they're a fun enough team, I wouldn't mind seeing Detroit or Kansas City come in there and do something just to make things interesting.
Well, like I said, both teams are about a year away from really competing, but I mean, why not? Why not this year? Texas, look at Texas. They were a year away as well, and they won the damn World Series. So
yeah, they spent $2 billion in two off seasons, though. So
they did, but again, they spent it in just a couple positions. They were still a very, very, very young team. And, I mean, let's be real. They shouldn't have – they overachieved last year big time, in my opinion.
Oh, no, but, for sure they overachieved winning the World Series, but just from how much money they spent on to bring Corey Seager and Marcus Semien and all those guys in there, they didn't cheap out.
No, they didn't, but still they were, that was two positions that, they really spent, multi-million dollars on.
Well, and DeGrom, that's third.
Yeah, but that was – but let's be real, though.
We're going to revisit his history now because
– I love Jacob DeGrom. When that dude's healthy, he's the best pitcher in baseball. When he's fully healthy, he's the best pitcher in baseball.
So like 5-6 years ago?
Well, I mean,
just from a fully healthy standpoint.
The poor guy. And that's why I was kind of stunned that Texas, dumped the money like they did. But
I think we all were.
Well, that's true. You know what? Shit. Let's transition to the American League West now.
Yeah, since we're already talking Texas.
I mean, we're already talking Rangers.
This is your division with your Texas fandom. So why don't you go ahead and lead things off on this one?
Well, I don't have winning the division or the World Series, so there's that. I do have the Houston Astros. They are the Astros until, proven otherwise. They just continue to get it done when it matters most. I've never seen anything like it. They're a team that, again, not too many people like unless you really live in Houston, and that's about it. They're that team everybody loves to hate, but damn it, they get the job done. And until, Texas had it literally down to the wire and they lost the division the last day. So, another division title for, you know, for Houston. And I don't see that changing this year with the moves that they've made, you know, obviously adding Josh Hader to the back end of that bullpen. I mean, the team just, they're still loaded. I mean, they have so much talent. You still have Altuve, you have Kyle Tucker, you've got Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, just the list goes on and on and on. Justin Verlander getting it done at his age. It's baffling. The team is good. And until a team steps up to knock them off from the division perch, you know, I'm going to have to pick them. Now, Texas went in and beat them last year, you know, in the ALCS, but you know, in terms of division, I've got Houston winning that. I do have the Texas Rangers finishing second. Texas, you know, top to bottom, offense-wise, they are stacked. But this, for Texas, comes down to pitching, 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 pitching. Rotation and bullpen have to, you know, they've got to step up. You've got Tyler Mahle, who is going to be out until, you know, midseason. You have Max Scherzer, who's going to be out. Jacob DeGrom, you know, they've got, you know, and again, and you know, in terms of free agents that we've seen, you know, that we've seen that are available, Jordan Montgomery. Dude's got to come back. Jordan Montgomery is the obvious, you know, that's an obvious marriage. He wants to come back to Texas. A lot of the issues with the, you know, with the regional sports network stuff, I think that has really halted the movement of Texas, you know, building, you know, their pitching staff back up in terms of bringing in a Josh Hader, which they were heavily connected to in the offseason. Instead, they see him go to a division rival, which sucks for, you know, for Texas. But then you've got, like I said, you know, you've got some talent in the pipeline coming up that, you know, when these guys arrive, they're going to be in good shape, coupled with the veteran talent, you know, that is currently out right now. You've got, like I said, you've got guys like John Gray. You've got, you know, like I said, I've mentioned, you know, Scherzer, DeGrom. I mean, those guys, Tyler Mahle, who, when fully healthy, they are going to help that rotation out. But that's just, you know, they're going to be able to outslug a lot of teams. You know, there's a good chance they're going to be winning a lot of 11-10 ball games or even losing 11-10 ball games. So that's something to keep an eye on, you know, rotation-wise and bullpen-wise. If those guys step up, you know, Texas is going to be a team that's going to make a serious run for the division. I just don't know if they have enough over the Houston Astros. Third, I've got Seattle. Seattle, very disappointing this offseason in a lot of aspects. They've got the pitching staff, one of the deepest pitching staffs in all of the American League and, in fact, of all of baseball. They did get rid of some guys that struck out a lot. They did bring in some guys to help reduce that. But offense-wise, offense has to it's got to coincide with the fantastic pitching. If they can get that production offensively to match the outstanding production from the pitching staff, Seattle's going to be in good shape. I think the disappointment of not making the playoffs last year and what we saw from Julio Rodriguez, who, when he is, you know, on, Julio is one of the most fun players to watch in this league. And I think there was a lot of pressure on him last season, especially with the All-Star game being in Seattle. He wore a lot of that, and I think the pressure really weighed on him to the point to where he stumbled towards the end of the season and unfortunately just couldn't get it going. So I've got Seattle finishing third. Fourth, the Los Angeles Angels. I mean, they're the Angels. They couldn't get anything done. That's
good enough.
I mean, yeah, they couldn't get anything done with Trout and Ohtani on the team. What makes you think they're going to get anything done now with Ohtani gone? Rendon could care less about playing anyway. So, you know, God forbid on that. And then, unfortunately, you have the Oakland A's finishing fifth. That's going to be a rinse and repeat. Wake up, go to the ballpark, get your shit kicked in. leave, go to sleep, wake up, go to the ballpark, get shit kicked in. And it's going to be a continuous, you know, rinse and repeat for the Oakland Athletics. It sucks because storied franchise, man, they just – they don't deserve that. And they are just literally it's just – I feel bad for them. So it sucks on their part. But, yeah. Just ride that out. That was my note. Yeah.
How'd it go today, honey? We got our shit kicked in again.
Yeah. Woke up, went to the ballpark, got our shit kicked in. I'm home. Go to sleep. Wake up. Go to the ballpark, get my shit kicked in. That's how it's going to be for Oakland this year. And unfortunately, it sucks, man. Like, I do. I feel so bad for them. I really do.
I feel bad for the fans, but I also love the fact that the fans are like, well, you're leaving anyway, so yeah, get the fuck out.
Like, I know.
You still need a place to play? Yeah, not here.
Yeah.
But if you're going to stay here, you're going to pay us triple the rent, which is exactly how you should play that one.
Oh, totally. Totally. I love it. I mean, good on Oakland fans for that. I love it.
So do you have the Rangers making the playoffs, though? Do you have your wild cards despite – okay. So
yeah, I do. Yeah.
So who are your wild cards? You got the Yankees and you got the Rangers. Those are your two wild cards, your division winners. You've got Houston, and you said Kansas City.
Houston, Kansas City, and Baltimore are my division winners. See, that's the problem is like – with
means you need one more wild card because
I'm gonna go with the Mariners.
Mariners,
yeah, I think three come out of the West.
I can see it, they were close last year, they kind of faded down the stretch. But
I normally would take three out of the East just because that's been the tradition over the last so many years. It's just continuous that those teams are so good, but the Garrett Cole thing, I don't know. And the Blue Jays, my God, I want them to step up, but I just don't know if they – I don't know. Maybe Joey Votto will save them. Who knows? But there's too much talent in the AL West and the top three for those teams not to make it.
Well, I agree with you, but I'm going to go in a different order. I am going to start things off with Houston. I do think Houston is the class of this division for whatever – however many division – titles they've won now in a row. I think this would be 8 or 9 for them. Houston, hands down, class of the division. There's not really much else to say. But going second, I believe we're going to see a little bit of the World Series hangover from
Rangers.
And I think it has something to do with not only the hangover, but as you mentioned, the fact that they're struggling in the pitching department. They spent most of the offseason trying to figure out how they were going to do with the cable licensing and where the money was going to come from for their TV deal. That led them to drag their feet, not sign anybody, not bring in anybody else in. You know, it seemed like a perfect match for them to just bring Jordan Montgomery back. That looks like that's dead in the water. So the fact that they didn't bring them back in means they have to patch things together until those high-priced veterans that they brought in from other franchises get back from injury. And I just don't think that it's going to be enough to hang tight with the Astros of the world. So I have the Mariners moving into second place in that division. Okay. Julio Rodriguez is going to take that next step this year. Last year, he started off slowly. We know he took the world by storm his rookie year. But this year, he puts it all together for a full season, puts the team on his back. I know you said they didn't add a whole lot, but I like the Jorge Polanco addition at second base. If he can stay healthy, that adds.
Damn, I forgot about that one.
And they hands down probably have the most complete top five rotation in baseball. From 1 to 5, I think that they've got the most quality if you were just talking about each individual player at their number positions. Not the best rotation, but the best when you're talking about 1 through 5. So that's going to be enough to push them over past Texas in that division. I do still have Texas coming in third and representing with the wild card. They're not going to fall out of the playoffs. There's too much talent on offense. It'll like you mentioned in terms of a couple of other teams, they may win 10 to 12, 12 to 10 games, 11 to 10. It might be a lot of ugly high scoring games, but I think they'll have enough offense to be able to pull ahead most contests and hold on until that pitching shows up. And then it's just whether or not they can put it all together and make another run on the back end of the season, but they got to get there first. I do think they're capable of getting there, but I have them taking a step back into third. I'm going to pick the Angels to finish fourth, but that's only because the Athletics are so terrible. Like, I love the new addition of my man Ron Washington in Anaheim. That is going to be the most exciting thing about the Angels, is that I do think that Ron is going to bring an energy and a sense of a pride back to that franchise that's kind of been missing. It's not to say that, with Trout and Ohtani there, that they didn't have pride in their jobs and they weren't trying to win. But I just don't think that they had leadership when one of the two of them was out, or both of them over the last few years, to be able to overcome that. Trout's not a super vocal guy. He's more of a lead by example guy. Ohtani the same way. And I think Ron is that voice in the clubhouse that this team is going to need. And they've got some young guys that I like too, like Zach Neto at shortstop, Noah Shanuel coming up at first. They've got some pieces there. Their pitching is a disaster. And even if they sign Blake Snell, like it's been rumored in the last 24 hours, with Blake Snell himself mentioning the Angels on social, following them on social media, throwing out the eyeballs emoji, still no word yet. And all signs point to him signing there. But even if Blake Snell signs there, it's not going to change much. The pitching staff from top to bottom is the exact opposite of Seattle. It's complete garbage in that respect. So they're going to lose a lot of games because they can't pitch. But I do think that Ron is going to add an attitude and intensity, and they're going to win some games. They're at least going to look like a more complete team than they have the last couple of years, because they finally have a solid leader up top. And I like Phil Nevin. I don't have anything against Phil Nevin as a leader of men, but I just don't think he had the attitude that this young team needs to get to that next level. And I don't even know if Ron's going to be there by the time they do, but I do think that this pushes them in the right direction. Now it's up to ownership, looking at you, Artie Moreno, to make sure that whatever moves they make, signings wise or whatever, that they kind of just stay out of the way and let Ron do his thing. You didn't hire him to meddle, and you didn't hire him to just run a franchise full of rookies and second year guys. So get out there and spend some money. And I don't mean on Blake Snell. Get somebody better than Blake Snell, for the love of God. It's a nice start, but there's so much more needed. And the Angels could be on their way within a year or two. And then there's the Oakland Athletics. And there's nothing really left to be said. It's a pathetic state there in Oakland, and I feel bad for both the city and the fans, because it's a proud franchise. That is was my grandpa's favorite team, and he is probably rolling in his grave knowing how terrible everything has gone since he passed on. I really enjoyed talking about the A's with him back in the days, with Mulder and Hudson and Zito and their big three. And they were making those playoff runs in the early 2000s. That was a fun franchise to watch. Now, that's most of my experience with the A's being good, because before that, it was all in the 80s and 70s. And I know the history of the A's, but I didn't get to witness any of it except for that early 2000s run. But I understand the history of that franchise, and that city deserves so much better than they've gotten out of ownership. I hope that when they move to Las Vegas, whenever that may be, however that ends up looking like, that the franchise gets back on the right path. Like, it is a good franchise, a good historical franchise that deserves much better than what they've gotten. And I'm sure that the fans that are in Las Vegas are hoping that they get their shit together once they get there too. But yes, absolutely a distant fifth finish. Like I said, probably going to wake up, get the shit kicked in, wash and repeat for the rest of the season. I don't see more than, what did they finish with, like 50 some wins last year?
Yeah, they're
horrible, just horrible state of affairs there. But yeah, so I will go with Houston to win the division, the Mariners to sneak up and snag second, Texas behind them, the Angels, and then Oakland. So I think we have the same division. Well, no, we have separate division winners in the Central because you have Kansas City, and I'm gonna just roll the dice on Detroit. We have the same in both the East and the West, and then by virtue of having different finishes, we have different wild cards. In I have Tampa Bay finishing in the wild card. You have New York, and I have in the West, I have Seattle and Texas. You have, well, I guess you have Seattle and Texas too. You just have them finishing different divisions or different spots in the division.
Yeah.
But the goal is to get in. You get in. That's all that fucking matters. I can tell you from experience that you can win all the division titles in the world. It don't mean a thing if you don't get that ring. So
bingo.
Yeah. And I don't think the Texas cares anything about winning the division last year after winning their first World Series championship.
Exactly. Now, real quick, before we move on, is there one free agent out there that could push? Well, if one free agent addition that could change your mind on any of these teams?
No.
Like, if they add them, what, you know?
I think everybody's kind of where they're going to be, and what's left on the free agency market isn't good enough to do anything. I do think that I saw plenty of people mention it. If for some reason this Blake Snell thing stalls with Anaheim, and the Yankees come begging and calling and saying, "Hey, we're so sorry, we're gonna up our offer," I do think that can kind of turn the Yankees' fortunes ever so slightly. I don't think that it makes a huge difference, like, because I think Snell's gonna. I don't think that Snell's necessarily the right personality to fit in New York.
No,
but it helps.
I don't think he's that good either.
I think he's good enough, but I don't know that he's built for that city. That
media. No. So, and let's be real. It takes a special kind of person to play in New York. Sonny Gray, for example, real quick. Sonny Gray is one hell of a pitcher. He really is. He gets the job done. He's a guy that you can rely on every fifth day to go out there and deal. He's going to shove. He couldn't get it done in New York because he's just some guys can handle it, some can't. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Look, I know that it was on the back end of his career, but all I need to know about how hard it is to handle things in New York is to look at Randy Johnson. When Randy Johnson went there, shoved the photographer the first day or two he had signed in New York, and then never was able to pitch to what we've seen and know Randy Johnson to do the entire time he was there. Flashes, but never got what they expected out of him. That's all I need to know. So it's, while I do dislike the franchise, the fans, and everything about that organization, I do realize that it's a different type of game to play in New York and to be successful and succeed with the media and all the bullshit circus that comes along with playing in New York.
Yeah, those pinstripes are they're definitely different, and that's they weigh heavy on some, and not as heavy on the other. So, well,
anything else of note that you want to point out across the American League to look out for, or anything that you're watching that doesn't necessarily have to do with the individual races?
No, I'm excited.
Who's your MVP? Who's your early pick for MVP?
Ooh.
Let's go MVP and Cy Young while we're picking division winners. Who do you got for MVP?
Oh, MVP. Oh, man. I didn't think this, honestly.
That's fine. I put you on the spot, but I've got one for you. I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez. I think
I was going to go
Yordan Juan Alvarez Soto. Goes with you. You're going to go with the easy one, huh? You're just going to go.
The dude's going to put up numbers, whether we like it or not.
I'm not picking a Yankee. That's my.
Do you think I wanted to?
You could have picked anybody else. There's a whole league.
Honestly, a dark horse to watch, though, Adley Rutschman.
And if the Orioles are going to do what we think the Orioles are going to do, it would probably be led by whatever Rutschman does. Or Corbin Burnes would be probably the reason, but I would imagine that Corbin would win the Cy Young in that case versus the MVP. So
yeah,
I could see him winning Cy Young, but I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez. It's all about health. And when that dude is healthy, he's capable of putting up 40, hitting over 300. And despite the fact that Houston has tons of talent surrounding him, his monster season would be easily recognized as one of the top seasons in all of baseball if he stays healthy. So I could see a Yordan Alvarez MVP season coming if he can finally get over that hump and stay healthy.
I can't. I mean, he's proven the Duke can rake in the past. The only reason I'm picking Soto is I think the change of scenery, the fact he doesn't have to be the guy, you know, he'll be there, you know, batting behind or however the hell they do it with Aaron Judge and Stanton. And again, that short porch and right, it's just stupid. And he's going to hit. He's going to produce. That's the only reason I say that. But again, Adley Rutschman, another name that you had mentioned is Julio Rodriguez. He's one to watch as well because he's got the talent to do it. And now that, you know, he's coming off of that, you know, that season, the sophomore season last year where it was kind of like, oh, man. Like I said, I think there was a lot of stress on him. He wore a lot. You know, if he can brush that off, it'll be interesting to see what he can do, you know, coming this coming season. But that's my pick there. It's going to be Soto. Cy Young. I'm going Corbin Burns as I struggle through that one. I just think that addition is, I mean, he's ridiculous. And, you know, with that team, the dude gets it done every fifth day.
I'm going to pick a sleeper pick because while I do like the Corbin Burns pick, I just want to pick somebody different. I'm going to go George Kirby for Seattle.
I think
George Kirby's going to have himself a hell of a year. He's showed flashes. He's got himself in that upper tier of pitchers in the American League. He just needs to do just a tad bit more. And if he's able to lead that pitching staff to the playoffs and Seattle in general is able to play better, I think he will be a big reason for that, and I'm going to go with George Kirby just to be different and not pick Corbin.
Hey, there you go, man. I like it. Let's be real. Any of those Seattle pitchers can do it. I mean,
sure.
Like you said, top to bottom, they are – it's the best rotation in the American League, hands down. I mean, they are that good.
And real quick before we wrap things up, on all of things American League, Rex Million saying that he's interested to see how the Guardians do without Tito. Yeah, I know we kind of – you know, poo-pooed what Cleveland had done in the offseason and said that just talent-wise, they've fallen behind that division. But it will be interesting to see how Vogt, you know, takes over that team and the transition from Tito. Tito is beloved in that city, beloved yep. across baseball. And so it is a transition period in Cleveland. There are some things that it would be interesting to see him kind of shake up, though. Tito's more of an old-school guy, and maybe Cleveland could squeeze – a couple more wins out of doing things a little bit differently. You never know how things are going to go when you go from the old guy who's been around the game for a long time to one of these newer, younger managers who, hell, just retired within the last couple of years. So,
yeah, you're spot on. That's an interesting. I never really thought of that, but that's Tito. I mean, what he provides in the clubhouse is, you know, it's proven, you know, his career, you know, speaks for itself. How does that transition happen up there in Cleveland? That's definitely something to watch out for.
What do you want to hit us with the Tri-State Baseball Report before we get out of here?
You know what? No, I'm thinking I might do something separate on that. Maybe we can do a separate podcast because that'll cover college and high school. I might do a separate show on that throughout the week sometime and, you know, that way we're not clogging this up. But did you want to do the brushback topic? Sure. Or you want to hold off on that?
Well, let's go on ahead and do it. I can do it real quick. So this week it was announced that Sony announced that MLB The Show will feature female created players in the newest version of MLB The Show. And before anybody gets up in arms thinking I've got any problem, I got no problem with there being women in any type of video game at all. I'm happy that they give you the option because, hey, I've been able to create myself for my entire life and I haven't played baseball since Little League. So it's just as unrealistic for me to be in a baseball game as it is anybody else who creates themselves, female or otherwise. My problem is that Sony hasn't done anything to fix the fucking game in the last two decades, it feels like. They've neglected franchise mode. They've neglected the online mode. And video games in general have just shifted to a state of pay-to-play and focusing on the online card packs and being able to build some type of ultimate team. And that's not what the hell I'm here for. I know that I may be in the minority when it comes to not looking for that stuff in my baseball or sports video games, but damn it, if you're going to add a feature like being able to create yourself as a woman in the game, could we at least get some improved updates on some of the features and modes that have been around since the existence of the damn game? Like, hiding behind the fact that you can now create a woman in the game to belabor the fact that they haven't done shit to improve the game just drives me up a wall. And again, I feel like I haven't been able to like fully express that without anybody coming across and saying that I'm sexist, but I don't care. I've created the most ridiculous things in some wrestling video games where they give you whatever tools you want to create, you know, monsters and such that don't exist. I got no problem with a created player in a sports video game allowing you to create a woman. But can we please update the actual features of the damn game while we're at it?
I mean, you're not asking for much. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, that's the frustrating part about it all. I mean, here I am. All I got to complain about really is, you know, spring training games not on TV. I just want to watch more spring training games. So I'm not going to really go on a tangent on that because I can't top what you just did. But on a side note, did you ever play the NCAA baseball game?
I absolutely did. Back in 07.
Yes.
It was the spiritual successor to the greatest baseball video game of all time, MVP 05. So of course I played it.
Yes. Okay. Do you think they come out with that now? Like, obviously now that we have the NIL stuff, do you think they're coming out via the college football?
Because of how much it took to get college football back and the fact that they only made, was it one, or did they follow up 07 with an 08 college baseball game? Because I only owned the first one.
They did two of them. I do know that.
Okay. Yeah. The next year I fell off, and I think it was because it was a transition from PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3, whichever one it was on, to the next console. And I just left it behind and it wasn't on the newer one. But I mean, I would love for them to bring back a college baseball game. I don't even have, outside of, you know, going to Xavier and following them because they're Xavier, I don't really follow college baseball like that, but I'd be all in to play some college baseball.
Heck yeah. Well, you know, the fact that you touched on Xavier real quick, college baseball fans, this coming weekend, make sure you check out Xavier. They have a huge three-game homestand against Indiana State. Indiana State is I don't know if they're nationally ranked right now, but they are a team that is, I mean, they're going to compete with the chance to go to Omaha this year. So they're going to be a fun team. That's going to be a big series to watch, and it's at Xavier. So if you get a chance at the weekend, I don't know what the weather is going to be like, but if it's nice, hell, head on down and check it out. Like I said, it's going to be totally worth it. So but other than that, I think that's all I've got. What do you,
I was just going to say, I think it's time to get out of here. It's the bottom of the ninth. Why don't you go on ahead and tell everybody where they can find us?
Well, make sure you follow us on Twitter/X at ISCincy, and then at CraftsBSports, I think is what it is. That's you guys. I do know that you guys handle that way more.
Yes.
obviously, YouTube channels, make sure you like, subscribe, all of that. You know, give us feedback. Make sure you interact with Scott and I on there. As always, truly appreciate you guys. And we'll be back next week for another rousing episode, as we'll definitely touch on the National League before the season starts, because it's going to get ramped up here. What, next?
No, next week. Next week, don't we have the Korean series?
Yes.
We got baseball next week that counts, Chris. Let's go.
Yes. Let's do it.
For Chris Esbrock, I'm Scott Kaiser. Thank you guys for tuning into the Backwards Cave Baseball Show. Follow us on X or Twitter, whatever the hell they're calling it these days. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to us on all your favorite podcast platforms. Follow us on Facebook and right here on the Craft Brewed Sports Podcast Network. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. We'll see you.